podium goes up and down, so just adjust it to your level. And please begin by telling us who you are in a loud, clear voice, please.
Good morning. May it please the court, my name is Sylvia Zinn. I'm here on behalf of Appellant Nationwide Insurance Company. This is a fairly straightforward case. I believe it has to do with the interpretation and the application of a homeowner's policy to a golf cart accident that occurred at Tannersburg Golf Course. The parties and the trial court agree that the policy is unambiguous. The parties and the trial court agree that the policy excludes coverage. The issue is there an exception that brings coverage back to the insured for the accident that happened at Tannersburg? There are two exceptions at issue, one that specifically addresses motorized golf carts. That exception in this homeowner's policy states that a motorized golf cart is brought back, coverage is restored if the insured is driving the cart he owns and he has an accident on it. That didn't happen here, so there is a I want to say disconnect. I don't mean that to be a negative word, but at the trial court level, that exception does not apply to the facts of this case. Since the exception does not apply to restore coverage, that should be the end of the analysis. If the exception does not apply, the exclusion controls. The trial court, in our briefing, which respondent ordered and we all have, in the trial court, we argue to the trial court that exception is valid. It does apply. The trial court apparently understood when the facts did not fall within the exception, so the exception does not apply to restore coverage, then the exception should be ignored. So the trial court ignored the exception. This doesn't apply to the facts. Let's move on to a different one, is what the trial court did. The trial court applied an exception that does not follow the facts of this case. The exception the trial court applied was the motor vehicle designed for recreational use off of public roads. It doesn't apply in this case for a couple of reasons. The golf cart is not a motor vehicle. When you look at the language of the policy involved, the policy says motor vehicle liability is excluded, except if the motor vehicle is designed for recreational use off of public roads. The golf cart is not a motor vehicle, which brings us into the statutory analysis that the trial court performed.
Ms. Zinn, is it a fair comment to say that, and I do appreciate the argument, but is it fair to say that there is nothing in the golf cart exception stating that it is the only exception applicable to occurrences involving golf carts?
The language does not say it's the exclusive exception.
Okay.
But this is a homeowner's policy, Your Honor. The homeowner's...
You're right. You're right. I would think in common sense land, you're right.
Thank you.
However, you know, we're in appellate land where we also look at the policy as a whole, and you know the cases as well as I do, blah, 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 blah. If we look at the policy as a whole, I'm not so sure you're right. So tell me why I'm wrong, Ms. Zinn.
I will. In complete candor and respect, I believe you're wrong because it's a homeowner's policy. The homeowner's policy specifically insures the homeowner's residence and the homeowner's property. The homeowner policy specifically excludes liability arising from driving things that move. And so if this policy says we're going to insure golf carts if you own them, and if you don't own them, that converts this homeowner's limited coverage to a motor vehicle policy, and that's not what was intended. So this policy says we insure the home and the person and his property. We exclude motor vehicle activity, and that's not disputed. But we will bring back a very limited, very circumvented situation where it's your golf cart that you own, that you are operating on a golfing community or in a golf course. That's the limited exception. Your Honor, to answer your question specifically, there's no requirement that the policy say, and we mean this is the only time. The language is plain. Everyone agrees it's unambiguous. If we are to require homeowners insurers to specify we'll take your personal property and insure it, and we mean only your personal property and no one else's, that misconstrues the whole intent of the policy. It misapplies the language, the clear language of the policy. The other thing, Your Honor, that I want to say is that...
So under this homeowner's policy, let's say I own a golf course. I own it. I own my golf cart.
Yes, Your Honor.
Under the policy, as you see it, I drive the golf cart... Well, I drive the golf cart on my property and I hit someone. Is there coverage?
You're driving the golf cart
on my I got a 50-acre lot in Medina. Couldn't be in Edina because
nice.
No one has that anymore. But I own a 50-acre lot in Medina. I'm driving my golf cart that I own on my home. I own the land, and I run over whatever somebody.
Okay.
Does the policy provide coverage under that fact?
The policy says if it's a motorized golf cart that you own. And the occurrence, so you run over this person, according to this policy, at the time of the occurrence, that you have to be operating your golf cart within a golfing facility. So unless your home is on a golfing facility, no. So we go down to number two. If your home is in a private residential community, and there are a lot of them where your home is on a golf course, if it's in a private residential community, including public roads that allow you to operate your golf cart, that you own, then yes, it's covered.
So under the policy, my home is next to the golf course. I own the golf cart. I'm driving the golf cart from my house to the golf course, and I hit somebody.
Okay.
Is it covered?
So you are driving your golf cart that you own to an adjacent golf course.
Yes.
Under Exclusion E, a motorized golf cart that you own, if the occurrence occurs at a golfing facility used by the insured, which is you, to play the game of golf, you're covered, to travel to or from an area where the motor vehicle or golf cart is parked, you're covered, or you cross public roads at designated points to access other parts of the golfing facility, you're covered. But if it's not your golf course, your golf cart, and you go to Tanner's Brook and you use one of their fleet of golf courses, I'm sorry, your golf carts, it's not covered under your personal homeowner's policy. The other thing that I wanted to mention is, so the language that the trial court, the exception the trial court used does not apply because a golf cart is not a motor vehicle. Under the language of this exclusion and this exception, the exception applies only as follows. Excuse me. The exclusion does not apply. There is still no coverage unless the motor vehicle is designed for recreational use off of public roads. So to apply the exception to bring back coverage, the limited coverage under this homeowner's policy, the golf cart has to first be a motor vehicle, and it is not. That is clear. The statutes that the trial court then interpreted all say the golf cart is not a motor vehicle. The trial court then says, but it kind of fits within the exception of use for recreational purposes and relies on the Metropolitan Property case, which does not support the trial court's conclusion. Because in Metropolitan Property, Judge Frank said, the use at the time is not determinative. You look at the thing. In Metropolitan Casualty, it was a Gator utility vehicle. And the court said a vehicle is a vehicle, whether you're using it for recreation or not. Applying that to this case, a golf cart is a golf cart. And
well,
it is
a problem with that when you're saying it's not a recreational vehicle. I mean, you use golf carts for things besides golfing. Go to any parade, you got a golf cart running down the street or any events. It's just a matter of transportation from one place to another. So I don't know why it would not be deemed a recreational vehicle.
Because when you look at the statute, Your Honor, recreational vehicle, an RV, it's a mobile home, it's a camper, it's a trailer. An RV, pursuant to the statutory definition, is not a golf cart. There are many things that are motorized and are mobile, but they are not recreational vehicles under the statute or under this policy, and they're not motor vehicles.
Recreational use for off-road
yes.
purposes.
And I agree, those are two separate things.
Okay.
A respondent argues that the golf cart is a recreational vehicle. It clearly is not. A recreational vehicle is a trailer, a mobile home.
By definition.
So, or a motor vehicle used for recreational purposes. In every case law that we have in this jurisdiction, when they're applying that, it's snowmobiles or ATVs. This golf cart is designed for use not on trails, not on DNR land. It's designed for use on golf courses. And if you are insured under your homeowner's policy and you have your own golf cart that you use on a golf course, you're protected. But if you go to a golf course and you rent their golf cart, your homeowner's policy doesn't protect you. The other item...
So just so I'm... I want to make sure I understand your policy as you see it. I own a golf cart. I have a trailer to pull my golf cart to various places. It's my golf cart. I didn't drive the golf cart to the golf course. I go to the golf course. I unhook the trailer. I take the golf cart off the trailer, and I use it to play golf on a golf course. I hit somebody. Am I covered?
So you are on a golf course in a golf cart that you own?
Yes.
Yes.
Well, I'll have to buy a trailer then.
Well, I just think you need to be a better, you need to operate your golf cart a little bit more carefully.
Or not play golf at all. Play tennis.
But Council, I just want to ask one question to make sure I understand, Eric. So you rely heavily on statutory definitions of what is a motor vehicle. Does the policy incorporate the statutory definitions?
It does not.
Okay, and the policy doesn't define motor vehicle, does it?
Or it does not. It defines vehicle. It does not define motor vehicle. And that's why the case law that we reference in the trial court and in our appellate briefs talk about when the policy doesn't define a term, you look at the common ordinary meaning or the statutory definitions. But to get to your point, Your Honor, all the parties in the trial court said the policy is not ambiguous. It's clear. And so there's no need to determine it to be ambiguous, to find coverage when there's none there.
I keep going back to the way I'm hearing your argument is that you're really focusing on a golf cart being used solely for that purpose, and that's why I feel it has the recreational use component, because I see them all over the place. You go to a county fair, go to the state fair, go to any place that has vendors. I mean, people are on golf carts all the time. It's a larger use.
And, Your Honor, in all candor, I don't know who owns those carts. I don't know what coverage applies to those events. I would anticipate in a carnival, you have a carnival policy that applies to floats or parades, if you will, or a vehicle policy. But this is a homeowner's policy. It has limited application. It does not insure motor vehicle liability. And that's why I keep coming back to the fact that in this policy, we're construing this policy to these facts. And if I would caution against rewriting all homeowners' policies or changing the law about whether a golf cart is a motor vehicle. We need to apply the law as it exists today. The law as it exists today is a golf cart is not a motor vehicle. A golf cart that is owned by a homeowner who has homeowners insurance is covered under this policy if they're operating their golf cart on a golfing community. That's the extent of the coverage, Your Honor. And it's not meant to go beyond that. It's not meant. And if we extend it beyond that, we are creating motor vehicle coverage under a homeowner's policy. The parties didn't pay for that. The companies didn't contract for that. It's a risk that was unanticipated, and it's not fair to apply. The only other thing that I will say is when we're construing insurance policies, we're supposed to look at the plain language and apply it to the facts. Policies are not to be read in a way to find coverage. In this policy, there is no ambiguity. You may find it to be an unfair result, but keep in mind a couple of things. The insured is covered. I'm not up here asking you to take coverage away from the insured. I'm asking you to put coverage on the policy where it applies, and it's not under the homeowner's policy. It's under the respondent's policy. And if you were to apply the trial court's order, it creates an ambiguity that is not in the policy. So I respectfully request that you reverse the trial court and that you find that the exclusions in this policy are valid. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Ms. Sind. We'll now hear from counsel for the respondent, please.
May it please the court, Kevin Kennedy, now of the Kennedy Law Firm, on behalf of respondent Wadena Insurance Company in Tannersbrook Golf Course. With me today is Associate Attorney Amanda Spiro.
So you can safely assume she did all the work.
She did quite a bit of it. And here's what I'll start with, Your Honors, is that I agree with Ms. Zinn that this is a simple case. It's a coverage issue, but it's simple. You just read the policy that Nationwide issued, the policy that Nationwide wrote, and the policy that Nationwide chose to grant coverage for certain exceptions to the motor vehicle liability exclusion. I noted when I prepared for this argument that appellant starts with the statutory construction argument. And my first thought was, why? None is needed. It's black letter law in Minnesota that when the terms of an insurance policy are clear and unambiguous on their terms, you don't look outside for extrinsic evidence. You don't need to.
Well, I mean, I don't think she says she is.
Well, I think she is.
I mean, unless I'm wrong.
So
Mr. Kennedy, what should I mean, we've all got the policy in front of us. What should I be looking at for your argument? Because I will say, I think Ms. Zinn makes a lot of sense. So what am I looking at for your side?
Several things. First of all, the policy defines motor vehicle. And Ms. Zinn said it did not. It does. Okay, the policy does not define vehicle. It defines motor vehicle. And motor vehicle is in the definition section of their policy at paragraph 7. Motor vehicle means a self-propelled land or amphibious vehicle, period. There is no doubt.
I'm sorry, could you give me the, what, like AA what?
I'm sorry, Your Honor, I don't have that cite.
Okay, fine, just, fine. Don't worry about
because
it. We've got clerks to deal
so
with this.
Counsel, do you have a copy of the addendum? Because I think I'm looking at what you're looking at, but I want to make sure. Do you have that? The appellant's addendum at 24, page 2 out of 28 on the policy.
Yes, two of 28. That's the page.
Okay.
Paragraph 7A. Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Judge Bradfield. Go ahead.
Yeah. And I didn't have that handy because I didn't think that there was an argument that the policy that Nationwide issued defined motor vehicle. It does. With that definition, there is no question that a golf cart, the golf cart that Mr. Buck was driving, is a motor vehicle as Nationwide defines it. Now, here's the second strong piece of evidence to show why this is a simple issue. If you go to the motor vehicle liability exclusion of the Nationwide policy, the first section is paragraph is capital A, and it says coverage E and F, and in this case we're dealing with coverage E, which is the personal liability section, does not apply to any motor vehicle liability, and motor vehicle liability is in quotes. In a policy, when you find something in quotes or in bold, it means it's defined. Nationwide didn't define, quote, motor vehicle liability, unquote. So that is confusing. But nonetheless, it says, coverage E does not apply to any motor vehicle liability if, at the time and place of an occurrence, and then you go down to subparagraph B, the involved motor vehicle is in quotes, is being, go down to subparagraph 4, used for any business purpose except for a motorized golf cart while on a golfing facility. Now that provision is not directly applicable to the facts here, but it's an admission. There is no reason Nationwide would have that exception to say, well, the involved motor vehicle, if used for business, is excluded, except for a golf cart at a golfing facility. Why? Because Nationwide, no.
Common sense, and you're saying if you have it under that definition, then you've obviously, you can't pick and choose. You can't have it as a motor vehicle under that provision and not under the other.
Correct. So Nationwide says,
so
motor vehicle,
are you
golf cart.
At 19, are you looking at 19 and 20 of 28 of the policy? I'm not looking at.
I think he is.
Thank you, Judge Bradfield. I mean, I think you are, but, you know.
Please check it for us. Yep.
So, but because.
Yes, Section 2 exclusions in the form that's HO3, Homeowners 3 form, which is very common, pages 19 and 20 of 20.
But, I mean, wouldn't the argument be that, well, first I would look to the golf cart exception, and which discusses when you have coverage for the golf cart. And then I would view this, or one way to view this is, this language relates back to what the policy's supposed to do, which is provide coverage for your golf cart that you use on a golf course. I think I got that right. So why am I wrong looking at that as opposed to the way you want me to look at it, which is sort of not looking at, you know, well, period.
Sure. Judge, I respectfully think you have a wrong assumption in your analysis. It's that, and this goes back to the issue, we have to be careful with the words we use here, and in the, and I don't mean the judges, but in the briefs. What Ms. Zins is trying to suggest is that somehow liability coverage is tied to ownership of property. That is absolutely not true. A homeowner's policy is nothing more than a type of insurance policy that provides two categories of coverage. One is property, damage to your property that you own. That's property coverage. That's called first-party coverage. Section 2 is liability coverage. Liability coverage sometimes involves property you own, right? If you have your own golf clubs and you are out at a golf course and you just willy-nilly you decide to start swinging the golf club around and you hit someone, they can sue you for negligence. Does it depend on whether that golf club that is owned by you or not? Absolutely not. Liability insurance is for negligent things that you do, period. End of story. Now, the policy can restrict that. So what about liability with motor vehicles? Well, we all know that automobiles that are intended to be driven on the roads, that are licensed, have separate automobile insurance coverage. And that's what homeowners' policies are intended to explain. We don't provide coverage that you for liability arising out of your use of motor vehicles, such as your Dodge or your Toyota, but Nationwide, like many, have exceptions to that, and they built it into their policy. They said, look, we're going to give you two exceptions to the motor vehicle liability exclusion. Okay. First, let me step back, Judge, because we have to decide if the golf cart is a motor vehicle. If it's not, there's no reason to be here. Nationwide provides liability coverage because it's just another instrumentality that Mr. Buck used allegedly negligently to cause injuries to Mr. Fee. So if it's not a motor vehicle, we win. If it is a motor vehicle, we then have to go to the motor vehicle liability exclusion, which takes it away with two exceptions. The give back, the coverage give back that Nationwide wrote into their policy. And there's two of them. Ms. Zinn focuses on the one involving the owned golf cart. Okay, it's not relevant. It doesn't apply here. Both sides agree. Because Mr. Buck did not own the golf cart. But what appellant ignores is the exception or the give back to the exclusion directly above it, paragraph D. And that talks about vehicles designed for recreational use off public roads. Okay. So if the golf cart is a motor vehicle, then the question is squarely in front of the court, is that golf cart designed for recreational use off public roads? And second question is it owned or not owned by the insured? It's not owned by the insured, that's undisputed. So the whole case simply turns on that issue. Is a golf cart designed for recreational use off public roads? Is there really any debate about that? It is a golf cart. It is named a golf cart because it's used for golf. Golf is a leisure activity, a recreational activity. In fact, that is what it was being used for at the time of the accident. This is simple. That provision provides coverage. Now, it's broader than...
Let's say, all right, under your interpretation of the policy, I am driving a golf cart on a side street, not on a golf cart. Excuse me, not on a golf course. Is there coverage? And I hit somebody.
And you own that golf cart?
Yes.
No. But that is what Nationwide controls. And they control that liability by what they put in their policy, which is if you own the golf cart, at the time of the occurrence, you have to be within the legal boundaries of a golfing facility or a private residential community.
So then, therefore, by extension, my same hypothetical, I don't own the golf cart. You do. I'm driving it on the side street. I hit somebody. Is there coverage under this policy?
If you look at, then yes. You look at subdivision.
That seems insane.
Exception D.
That seems insane to me. Why am I wrong? And what do you want me to look at? Exception what?
The exception that we're talking about is a motor vehicle designed for recreational use off public roads and not owned by the insured. Period. End of story.
Okay, am I looking at 20 of 28? Where am I?
Yes.
Okay, fine. Fair enough. So I'm looking at D, designed for recreational use off public roads. One, not owned by an insured. Two, owned by an insured. So that's the language I should be looking at. Okay, fair enough.
I'm not sure, Judge, why that's insane. I do subrogation work. I sue people all the time for negligence, and their homeowner's policy step up and cover it. Why? Because they did something bad, something negligent. And their policy has liability coverage. It's that simple.
I agree, but and again, these are all very specific, but it would strike me as odd that my homeowner's policy would provide coverage for a golf cart I don't own driving on the side street that I hit that person. I mean, that just seems to be...
Okay.
That just seems to be not... I mean, you know, there is no normal homeowner's policy anymore because everybody's got riders and addendums and it's all spec specific. But that strikes me as being, under your theory of both property and liability coverage, not foreseeable. So why am I wrong?
Nationwide could say, we do not insure for any liability arising out of the use of a golf cart, period. They didn't. Okay. They could have said anything to try to restrict what their motor vehicle liability exclusion consists of. These are the terms that they used. Okay. Now, if you were in a backyard, someone else's backyard at a party in the summer, and a slip and slide was in the backyard, you didn't own it, but you said to the 10-year-old boy next to you, slide down that thing face first, head first, even though the slip and slide
this
manufacturer
is my house.
Says...
The slip and slide is... The slip and slide is on my house.
No.
Okay. Okay. So I'm. Okay, what are the facts again? Okay. I'm at another's.
You're at a neighbor's house.
Fine.
You're invited to the party. So are the kids. There's a slip and slide in the backyard. You decide to tell a 10-year-old boy. You convince him slide down head first. That would be really fun. Even though the manufacturer says don't ever do that because of risk of paralysis, he does, and he injures himself. They can sue you. You don't own the slip and slide. It's not on your property. But you have a homeowner's insurance policy that says we, Nationwide, provide you with liability coverage if you do something negligent, period. That's it. Okay? It's no different. The instrumentality makes no difference here except when we're talking about is it a motor vehicle or isn't it. If it isn't, there's coverage. If it is, and it's designed for recreational use off of public roads, there's coverage. We win either way. And we know a motor vehicle is not designed for public roads because it's not licensed, it's got a governor on it, there's no seat belts, et cetera. I would just want to finish with this. Appellant argues that the trial court, Judge Meslow, found that a golf cart was not a motor vehicle. That's not true. Judge Meslow said, a golf cart is not a motor vehicle under Minnesota's No-Fault Automobile Insurance Act. But again, there's no need to look at that statute. Why would you? This is not a no-fault case. No-fault does not control here. Nationwide's policy defines motor vehicle as a self-propelled land or amphibious vehicle. Now, the issue of, I guess I really said everything that my notes say I've said, so. The only thing I'll finish with is this. One of the things that appellant wants to argue is recreational vehicle, which in common knowledge some people say RVs. If you say I drove by an RV park, then I get that concept. That's just a common thing to say when you say recreational vehicles are campers and such. That's not what the policy says. It's not a recreational vehicle. It's a vehicle used for recreational purposes. So I want to make sure that the court is aware of that distinction. We use the term recreational vehicle.
You're
only
saying it's inappropriate use of the word. We all kind of say one thing, but we're thinking something different. I get what you're getting.
Right, right. And we just use recreational vehicle periodically in our briefs just because I don't want to keep saying a vehicle used for recreational use off of public roads. So, thank you.
Thank you very much, Mr. Kennedy. Ms. Zinn, you'll have the last word.
Justice Revelt, I apologize for my misstatement on the policy definition of motor vehicle. I've read so many statutes and definitions. Here's the point. The policy, the nationwide policy is a homeowner's policy. It defines motor vehicle. It excludes motor vehicle liability. It only returns motor vehicle liability in connection with the use of a motorized golf cart if it's the insurer's golf cart and he's using it under the terms and conditions of the policy.
So, counsel, I have to be honest with you. I don't want to take you off if you really want to keep going on motor vehicle definition, but I find the policy incredibly confusing to read, all right, because golf carts are mentioned golf carts are mentioned twice. Mm-hmm. One is in that section that you're referring to right now where supposedly it excludes motor vehicle liability coverage from motor vehicle use, but it says under B, the involved motor vehicle is being, and it's got some language, but then it says used for business purposes except for a motorized golf cart while on a golfing facility, which could be a reference to that later exclusion that you like talking about, because that's when the golf cart is owned by the insured, but it doesn't say that. My struggle with your analysis is that your policy is not clear. And what do we do with a policy that isn't clear?
You remand it to the trial court.
No, we don't.
Just because
these are questions of law, and we're going to construe it against the insurer, right?
But no, because the trial court said it is clear and unambiguous.
No, there's a difference between clarity and ambiguity.
All right. So let me answer your question specifically. The policy is written as a homeowner's policy. It is written to exclude motor vehicle liability. I think we're clear up to that point.
So many exceptions, some of which include golf carts, and others include vehicles used for recreation.
The exceptions, Your Honor, for motor vehicle liability, the exceptions all pertain to motor vehicles, motor vehicle in dead storage, motor vehicle used to service the handicap, motor vehicle used as a service vehicle on your property, motor vehicle designed for recreational use off of public roads, or a motorized golf cart that you own and that you operate on a golf course. It is not ambiguous. If you want to, the trial court created ambiguity by not applying the golf cart exception. The other language in the policy that has to do with business use, it's not applicable to this case because there was no business use involved here. On occasion, those of us who golf, we'll see a golf cart used to sell refreshments or a golf cart used in a business capacity at some form. this homeowner's policy with respect to what coverage it does or does not apply to business practices is not before us. The only issue before us is what coverage does this homeowner's policy provide to motor vehicle liability. This was a driving incident. An accident occurred while operating a motorized golf cart. That is only insured under this homeowner's policy if it's Buck's golf cart. I mean, it doesn't, and that's not ambiguous, Judge. I
wasn't suggesting it was ambiguous. I was suggesting your policy appears to both take away and to give coverage within the same very few paragraphs. And normally when that happens, it is language that is construed against the insurer. I mean, normally I'm saying we've got lots of case law that says that. Understood. So tell me why we shouldn't do that in this case. You seem to think the policy is crystal clear.
I've worked on this one policy for years, Judge.
Yeah.
With respect to the facts of this case, the policy is clear because the policy does grant, like every other policy, it grants coverage, it excludes coverage, and then it restores coverage. That's not unambiguous. It restores coverage for motorized golf carts only if you own them. It's as clear as that. He didn't own them, so it does not then become a recreational vehicle or a vehicle designed for use off of public roads, like a snowmobile or an ATV. And it doesn't become a vehicle. Mr. Kennedy makes a point that this policy defines a motor vehicle. It doesn't say we're going to provide motor vehicle liability insurance, because then it wouldn't be a homeowner's policy. That's all I have. I appreciate your time. I respectfully ask that the trial court be reversed and that this policy be given its plain intent as it was drafted.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, counsel. The matter is submitted.